So good to be here. God is good, and he has done so many wonderful things to us, and how interesting that the lessons that we would have during this Yuletide season would be about faith, and because we come to the end of the year, and we begin to look back and sometimes wonder, how do we get over? Well, I can tell you, in each and every case, I don't have to ask anybody. I don't have to take a poll or a tax. I can tell you that you got over because of the grace of God.
Amen.
God was with you. After all, in this Yuletide season, we're reminded that He is Emmanuel, God with us. And throughout the Bible, He has encouraged us that He would be with us in everything we do. Whether He's talking to Joshua, who's going to cross over into Canaan and the Promised Land, or whether He's talking to the disciples in their great commission to go, His insurance or assurance is that He would be with us. And He's been true to His word. He's been true to His word. He's been with us. Acts chapter 14, verses 8 through 11, and verses 19 through 23 are our printed text today. Our authors have entitled the lesson, Faith to Persevere, Faith to Persevere. Now, last week we talked about faith to discern. And we saw some equipped men, some great men, some called men called out from their ministry and deployed to go ye therefore. And we find in last week's lesson a transition from emphasis on Peter to emphasis on Paul. Paul and Barnabas, and at the beginning of 13, we see that Barnabas is the leader of this talented group of evangelists, preachers, teachers, and God chose two of them, Paul and Barnabas, to get up out of here and go. You've been equipped, you're gifted, now I'm commissioning you to go. And so they went out and started this missionary journey. And one of the things that they soon found out, Robbie, as they journeyed on their first journey, missionary journey, they found out that the spirit of discernment must be on every Christian, because they ran into a boy called Bar Jesus, Bar Jesus. He wasn't very nice. And matter of fact, they were trying to get Christians, they were trying to make disciples, and he was trying to keep people from becoming disciples. So the gift or the spirit of discernment was necessary for them to accomplish their task. But as they went on, they knew what the ultimate purpose was, and that was to spread the gospel. The gospel was received by the man who would be the recipient of it, who God knew, who broke up this organization, who changed this entire church by taking of its two of its strongest apostles out and sending them. That's a big change. But that's what God will do just for one. But He says, I'm not sending you just for one. I'm sending for you to try and save the whole world. So move out. So they did. And they went out and they preached strongly. At the conclusion of chapter 13, we find that these boys are preaching to Jews and Gentiles. And that, but just like anything you do for God, if you're taking notes, take this note. Anything you do for God, it will be challenged. That's how you know. That's how you know that you're doing the work of the Lord. That's one of the ways you know you're doing the work of the Lord, is that the devil's going to get busy. He's going to challenge you. He's going to bring all kinds of challenges. You know, he'll break your car down. You know, he'll break your furniture down. You know, you just became the leader of this ministry, and they meet on Tuesday nights, and now you got to work on Tuesday night. You know, hey. Do not worry. Persevere. Do what the Lord say do, because God is with you. Y'all don't believe me? Here are these two guys, Paul and Barnabas. They preaching up a storm. Jews and Gentiles. I told you, they preaching up a storm. Somebody said, we don't believe that. We don't like that. You better get up out of here. Oh, I'm in the 13, getting ready to go in 14. 14 now. They told him, get out. And so, you know what Paul did? And Barnabas? Next. They went on over. Because they've got to do what they've been called to do. They got to do ministry. And so now, in today's lesson, we find that they have moved over to a city called Lystra. And they've got a problem. They got a problem there. What is the problem? This is a good problem to have, by the way. Verse 8.
And there sat a certain man at Lystra, and was never.
Now, for those of you who have read intently Acts more than once, many times, you know that any time Paul and Barnabas or Peter and Paul or John, they always went to the church house first. But here they didn't do it. And it suggests that Lystra's in bad shape. These are pagans of all pagans. You know, they don't go to church because they ain't got no church. They don't go. But God has called you. Once he calls you out, he's called you to meet people where they are. And here in Lystra, they meet a man who is described as impotent in his feet. In other words, his feet are powerless. He's lame. And it looks like this is the same thing that happened with Peter and John as they went to prayer over in chapter 3. Now we see in 14 that we find another lame man. Powerless. But there's something different. Notice when Peter and John were going to prayer and they told the man, they said, in the name of Jesus, get up and walk. And they grabbed his hand and they helped him up. He leaped up. I want you to notice something different. Because last week we really emphasized that you need to have discernment. We're going to show you the importance of that. Now, what we're going to see here is a miracle. And I want you, once I read the next verse, I want you to tell me what the miracle is. Is that all right? It'll be the only test, y'all. It'll be your last test for the year. Okay. Okay. He couldn't walk. He ain't never walked. He could not walk. Did I say he couldn't walk? He could not walk. He never walked. Verse 9 says, the same heard Paul speak. Paul is preaching and teaching, and the lame man hears him. But he hears him, and then he sees him looking at him. I read it. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him, and perceiving that he had faith to be healed. He looked at him so hard. He examined him so hard. He saw, this man right here got some faith. This man know what I'm talking about. When I'm preaching the gospel, this man is believing what I hear. We'll wait another verse. Did I say this man really wants to hear what I got to say? And this man is really being looked at by Paul. You've got to discern some things. See, because we assume that, you know, when we go into the cities and we go to the church house, oh yeah, some of these people, at least they know about church and stuff. But to look at this man amongst all these pagans, they know they didn't have no church. They didn't have no assembly place of worship. But he looked at this one man who's impotent in his feet. But he has a whole bunch of power that's about to come upon him. So much power that it's going to affect his feet. Because Paul discerned that. He discerned that. In verse 10, Paul says in a very loud voice. Tell me what he said. That's interesting. Because everywhere that you saw these apostles previously, they said, in the name of Jesus, stand up and walk, or open your eyes, or be healed. But here, Paul, just in a very authoritative voice, like he knew what he was doing, because he had the gift and he had to use it. Y'all don't hear me? But here, you got to understand, the gifts are operating. They need it. The word of God has not been completely revealed. Paul's got to write it. So the signs and wonders gifts are very active. They would show, but the signs and wonders gifts, they would always point to Christ. And they needed it because they didn't have the word. But you guys got the whole book, the whole kit and caboodle. Y'all got it all. Revelation is complete. So the signs and the wonders gifts diminish. That's why you don't see it on a regular basis. Because they have diminished. You have complete revelation. You have the word of God. The word of God will do what the sign gifts did. They will heal your soul. They will heal your body. The word of God. It will do it. Y'all don't hear me. The man got up and leaped. Everybody clap if that's a miracle. Can we move on? Is that the miraculous miracle that they were talking about? Let's examine this a little bit closer. Because y'all know how I am. I like to look at this. The greater miracle, I believe, is that Paul sees what a man needs and immediately moves to fulfill that need. That's a miracle. Because folk, there are a whole bunch of folk. Some folk who they may have had a missionary or two, but that's come through. But they walk right by this man. They did not see what was already there in him. But Paul now comes and sees there's something about this man. Because I have the not only the gift of healing, I've got the gift of discernment. I discern that this man has enough faith to get healed. And so, parenthetically, you could put there in that clay. And because of this man's faith, Paul said, stand up and walk. And he jumped up immediately and walked. There are two miracles there, not just one. There are two, not just one. It was miraculous to have this man healed. But you know what? Paul was speaking and the man heard. He was preaching and teaching because we know he had been doing it. Y'all, you don't understand. Whenever you're doing something mighty in the word, everybody clap. It was a miracle. Hey, it was a miracle. Everybody clap. Immediately, if you read the verses that follow there, you know what they did? They didn't hold camp meetings. They went on preaching and teaching. And they preached and they taught. They preached and they taught. They taught and they preached. And that got them in trouble. Because the world doesn't like the truth. Wherever you go, the world does not like what you got to say. Everybody's opinion can be respected except a child of God. They always want you to compromise your opinion. But your opinion is based on the word. And so here they come. And you know what, though? They said it was like a 50-50 split in this particular city. This is after these guys have been, you know, talked about before. Hey, and here comes some other prophet in here talking and preaching. And so now Paul decides to move on. But this guy, you got unsaved folk. Paul had been preaching and teaching. People were accepting. They were believing. They were more receptive to what was going on, but he received some resistance, so he left. These people right here need Christ. They need Christ. Somebody read for me verse 12. I believe it is. If you got your Bibles. Oh, no. 11 and 12. Somebody read 11 and 12.
They shouted in the
Lyconian dialect.
The gods have come down to us in human form. Barnabas they called Zeus, and Paul they called Hermas, because he was the chief speaker.
Because of a healing. Because they saw a man get up and leave. They went absolutely stark crazy. This must be the gods. The gods have come down. Hey, that's Zeus. That's Zeus. That ain't Barnabas. That's Zeus. And that's Hermes. Because he's the one that does the most talking. They went crazy. Now, Paul and Barnabas got a choice to make. They can receive these accolades and say, okay, guys, let's just set up a tent. We'll start a line. $10 bring. And by the way, for those who think that I may be thinking about the $10 prayer book, don't worry about it. Hey, God is good. You're getting a great value there. Get a great guy. Don't worry about it. I'm not trying to say, you know, snake all that there. But they went crazy. They went out of their minds. But listen to the Paul them respond. Hey guys, hold up. They rent their clothes and says, we are human just like you. Now, some have suggested, I think in your illuminators, they tell you that they believe that the people's reaction to this was because they believe that this priest, the one that brought the wreath and talking about, you know, we want to celebrate you and all that. They believe that legend had it that this town was completely wiped out except for one elderly couple, because Zeus and Hermes came and nobody gave them hospitality. So the whole village was wiped out. So some try to say that this is what it is. But that's great. It's a cute little story. I if that happened, and it's legend, and it ain't in the Bible, but it's legend. That's what legend had. What's all these modern day people's excuse for holding men up at God, for looking at the messenger rather than the message? I'll step back on that. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, he can preach. Oh, yeah. That she can teach. Oh, I got to get to them. What do they preach about? What do they teach them? Well, I don't know. I don't know what they preach, but did you see him when he threw his leg up on the counter there and he grabbed his handkerchief? Paul says, don't watch us. We're just human. We're one of you. We're flawed creatures just like you. But we've been sent on a mission to ensure that you're not the same old sin-sick souls that you were before we got here. And they preached. Now, he told them exactly what was going on. And somebody heard it. They did not like it. Verse 17 and 18, if you guys would. Just go there with me. Yeah, you all can. Verse 18? That was 18? That didn't sound like 18. Somebody read, one person read 18 for me. Got it. Okay. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. See, what he did, he gave them a quick sermon. He preached, he connected them back to God. We are not gods, the messengers, the teachers who teach. We are not gods, little g. There is but one God. He's the one that has revealed himself in what kind of revelation? General revelation. He gave them a general revelation sermon. And they went wild again. You know how I know? Look at verse 19 of our printed text. And there came hither certain Jews from Antioch. And persuaded the people and had stoned Paul, drew him before the council, and said, "Behold, this man speaks and teaches." How you like that? Okay, preach up on that. Okay, you want to preach something? Preach that. Preach how we stoned that head. Preach how we beat you down and threw him outside the city. Let me tell you something, folks. These folk got so mad with hearing the gospel that they wanted to kill this man. So they took up a stone and they stoned him just like Paul stoned Stephen. Oh, y'all forgot that. You done got all holy now. Oh, yeah. Oh, he just preaching the word and the gospel. He not doing nothing. But let me tell you something, folks. You're forgiven for your sins, but sin has consequences. And what you reap, you sow. And some of that stuff is coming home to roost right now in America. That stuff you plowed, that stuff you planted is now coming up. Oh, you good and nice now. You have holy hands now. And that's all of us. I ain't just talking to you. I'm talking to me. I'm wondering when there's no fall on me. Y'all be saying, "Oh, bro, Deacon Steve." You can say, "Well, he doesn't read what he saw." You're a good man now. Doesn't change what you are right now. Because all of us were X something or X something. You all got an X by your name. You did something X. And some of you ain't asked. Y'all, some of you still doing it. But Paul says, I'm going to preach the gospel. I'm not going to shy away from the gospel just because of my past. And I got stoned. They threw him on the outside. They said he was dead. Dead. But Matthew 28 and 20, the last phrase, lo, I will be with you always. When God has given you a task, you need to carry it out. You shouldn't let any jackleg, because these folk that came from Antioch, now this is Antioch, Pisidia. This is not Antioch, Syria, where they had the last big time revival. They came in and they beat this boy down. And you got to ask, what was he doing? Preaching and teaching the gospel. And you know what they did? The thing that makes me scared, they only stoned Paul. Because he the one did the most talking. Watch out, Joe. Watch out. They whooped that head. They left him for dead. But you know what? Even when you are knocked down, when you are knocked out, when people are talking about you, when people are forsaking you, when people are blaspheming your name, talking about your character, you got to hang on in there. You got to remember one thing. God is with me. And the disciples who were in his company. Verse 20 says they were standing right there with him. They threw him on the outside. But ladies and gentlemen, here's another miracle. You know why? Somebody read verse 20. Howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, he got up. That's a miracle. This man was beaten almost to death. They thought he was dead. That's why they stopped stoning him. They thought he was dead. He got up, and not only did he get up, he went to the next city. Next. That's perseverance. Because let me tell you, on this road of ministry, and on this, we're trying to do something for the Lord. Now that you've united with this local assembly called Resurrection and the Rock, you got to persevere now. You can't be no chump. You can't be worried about your feelings being hurt. Let me tell you, people will put knots on your head, knots on your throat, knots on your heart, knots on your eye. People will knot you up and knock you out. Bottom line, hurt you and your family while you trying to help them. Talk about you and your family. Bring your kids in on it. Were you trying to help them? But you know what? You got to tell it like it is. Because like I told the deacons yesterday, before you say anything, you got to think something. And what you got to think is this the truth? Is God the creator? Did God make man and not we ourselves? Is God's ways our ways? Is God's ways different from our way? Because part of the truth is rejecting error. And the error is men don't want to know God because they are void of all divine content. They are wicked. And they will beat you down if they don't do it physically. See, today we done got slick. Today, they do it on Twitter, internet, Facebook. They ain't man and women enough to come and stand in your face toe to toe. I know what I'm talking about. Biggest cowards in the world use that Twitter. Oh, I said it. You ain't nothing but a coward. You can't come tell me what you want to tell me. You see me every day and you don't want to tell me. Don't say nothing to me. Because when you come to me, I'm going to put something on you. And you know what it is? The word. And that's what Paul did. Paul says, you beat my head. You knocked me out. You left me for dead. But I'm going on. I'm on a mission. Mission ain't complete. I got to get up out of here. Because over there in Derby, there's somebody who needs to see and hear the gospel. You notice I said see and hear the gospel. And they got up because they saw the gospel when they saw Paul. You know why? Because somebody had run over the Derby. It wasn't me. And they said, man, did you hear about the great evangelist Paul? Man, they stoned that boy to death because that's all they knew. They knew that he was dead. So that's the news that they had. This boy is dead. Next day. Is that Paul I see? This boy has been raised from the dead. That's the gospel. Because the gospel is Jesus the Christ once was dead, but is now alive. And so now they get a chance to see and hear. And boy, did they do their thing. See, what happens, what we got to do sometime, and in keeping it, we got to have the faith to keep on doing what we're doing, even when it's not popular. And even when your name is not called. You got to keep on doing what you're doing. Folk, I'm telling you. Because you realize, you know, see, Barnabas could have went on a trip, a guilt trip too. An ego trip, rather. He could have said, oh, they out here. I'm so glad they put them knots on Paul's head. Let's shut your mouth. You know, let somebody else talk sometime. Let me teach a class now, you know. But Barnabas, you got to understand his name. He had a specific role. He had been the head pastor at the local church. At Cyprus. Barnabas now is an encourager. He went on out there. They said, let him rest. Don't fret. God's got this thing. Y'all just trust the Lord. This man is not dead. Don't worry about it. Because God was specific. He sent us on a mission. And he ain't letting him check out this soon. Because somebody disagrees. Because somebody doesn't want the gospel. You remember Bar Jesus, Bar Jesus, he did not want the gospel. But we got it to the ruler, the governor. These people don't want the gospel to be heard. But somebody heard the gospel and was saved on this trip so far. Let's move on to our next destination. So that men and women, boys and girls can hear the uncompromising gospel. You know why? Because that's what evangelism is. Y'all not with me. Y'all knew I was going to get that in here. Well, they went to Derby. Read verse 21. Stop. And when they had done what? When they checked into the local Holiday Inn or the local hospital there, They relaxed for a few days, took a few days off because it's been a tough trip. They weren't dead of vacation. They weren't dead. Matter of fact, I remember Sister Sylvia, we used to go to the National Evangelism Workshop, and the first thing they wanted to do was complain about the hotel. Why am I complaining about something I ain't going to be in? I'm going to be in class early in the morning. You got to get up for prayer. Be in prayer seemed like all day long. Well, actually, prayer did run all day long. Sister Douglas and them, they get it down there at 5:30, and that's all they did till the day ended. They were in prayer. But you go down there, then you got to go to class. Then you got to leave class, get a bite to eat, and go right back to church and stay 2 or 3 hours. More three than two. So what am I going to worry about all day what it looked like? They went there to preach and teach the gospel. And that's what they do. In verse 21, it says, and when they had preached the gospel to the city and had stop right there. What did Paul and Barnabas do at Derby? What did they do? Somebody. Okay, they preach the gospel. They do anything else? Oh, preaching and teaching go hand to hand. Discipleship is everything, folk. Because you're going to see it in a minute. Because out of discipleship, understand, Jesus set the model for you. He says, go ye there and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. In other words, go preach the gospel, teach people, baptize, identify them, start a church. That's what they did. They ain't just preaching and teaching. They're going to start a church right here. But it's based on preaching and teaching, not singing, swinging, dancing, prancing, association, clubbing, none of that. It's based on preaching and teaching. Didn't say you didn't have to do those things, because once you're organized, you do it. But you can't attract folk by singing to them. You got to preach and teach them. People don't get better because they're great songs. Because if great songs saved anybody, we'd be the most saved planet in the solar system. Everybody would be saved. I can ask anybody in here, just give me your favorite song. And just let it. And I say, but see, Terry, you know what they do? They get holy on me. They're like, oh, my favorite song is Draw Me Near. Nearer, precious love. That may not be their favorite song, but for this audience, you see. But if great songs, that's a great song. That's great. Hey, matter of fact, everybody knows that grew up with me knew one thing. I ain't much for them dancing, them fast songs. Could do it, but I like love songs. Songs that stir the soul. You know, like, memories. So singing would save you. Maybe even almost save people on the planet. But you gotta preach and teach. And you know what, folks? You know what? I'm gonna stop right here because I got to share this with you. Don't get too far from the basics. Don't get so sophisticated. Don't get so suave. Don't get so smooth that you forget the basics. Because it is the basics. Listen to Jesus. Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded. And lo, I'm with you. Now, here's the thing. There ain't nothing in there about how we conduct church. He just says, start churches. How we conduct it. You know, that's up to your personality. But it is never to be in lieu of your personality, your style, your presentation, what you like to do should never overshadow the preached and the taught word of God. I believe it. I will die believing that. Because I've seen what it does. Like I said, great songs. Man, there's plenty of them. searched all over, couldn't find nobody. Searched high and low, couldn't find nobody. Nobody greater, nobody greater, nobody greater than you. It's a great song, but you gotta learn what it's saying. You gotta be taught what it's saying. Is that Jesus the Christ is supreme and superlative to everything. And if he's supreme and superlative, Wes, to everything, that means ain't nothing better. You can have all this fancy church you want. Give me some word. You have a good time. I'll help you. I'll get out there and I'll try to shoot a jig with you. My knee will hurt. My back will go out. But I want to hear some word. I want to hear the gospel, because the early disciples, apostles, were telling you, we got to do what Jesus told us to do. We got to make disciples. That's got to be our main purpose. Make disciples. Because y'all ain't with me yet. Verse 22. Just tell me what they did. You already told me they were preaching and teaching, right? Verse 22. What does that mean? What does that mean? I could just shout when I saw that verse. You know what, folks? You can't just give people the gospel and a Sunday school class and leave them alone. You got to have a system where you nurture them. See, the Sunday school class is quick. It goes by so quick. Matter of fact, it's gone now. It goes by real quick. But you know what? You got to have a system where you follow up, where you make sure you're maturing. Because someone gets the word, but there is a specific word for you that will help you to live better. You want to know how I know? Matthew 28:19, verse 20 says, teach them to observe all things. Okay, you got them saved. Now teach them how to live saved. Teach them how to live like a man. Teach them how to live like a woman. Teach them how to live like children. After you got them saved, there's got to be something in place to do that. Because maturation does not occur in 15 minutes, in 30-minute increments. And it doesn't occur in 1 hour family church school class. It doesn't occur in 12 weeks of evangelism. It doesn't occur in 3.5 years of the process. Maturation takes time, folks. What are you in a hurry to do? Paul says, I'm going to stand here and I'm going to make sure these people are maturing. I'm going to set some things in place to ensure that maturation. I'm going to set the evangelism process in place so that when I leave here, there'll be a strong. Dr. Johnson ain't never had to come back to resurrection and wonder, how that church is doing now. Because he gets reports, even though he don't see us. He knows that little struggling church over there on 1518 now is a mighty force in this community, because they employed things that, first of all, gave people the word and then set up systems so that they could mature in that word. But I'm crazy. Because he says, not only do you need to help them mature, Vanessa, you need to encourage them to continue. You need to tell them, folk, you're going to receive a lot of opposition. For those folk who've been here a very long time, you know the storms and the tribulations that we've gone through because we've just tried to do what the Lord said do. Expect it. If you just arrived today and you're ready to get involved in ministry, know that this is a ministry that has a target on its back. Because we're about teaching and preaching the gospel and ensuring that people are maturing in the process the best that we can. Is it perfect? No. But Ephesians 4 tells me he gave us all these gifts for the perfecting of the saints. Didn't say so that the saints would be perfect, so that they would mature, that they would become more and more complete each and every day. That's the kind of church you've bought into. That's the kind of church you're ministering in right now. But you're going to receive opposition because you're doing it for the Lord. And wherever the Lord is at work, the devil is right there too. Exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. And when they ordained them, elders in every church, and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. All that means is that they set up church organization. He didn't leave them to themselves. He didn't say, now y'all just become this band of disciples. Do what you want to do. You know, no organization, no structure. No, he gave them leadership. Leadership is very important, folks. And I'm going to tell you why. With great leadership, the Lord will take you many places. The Lord will give you leaders after his own heart. But if you just force some leaders on folk, you force anything on folk and get some bad apples up in here, leadership will tear up your church. Yeah, tear down everything you built up. Anybody know what a termite is? Yeah. You can build the best house in the world and make it all wood. All you're doing is preparing a picnic, a super buffet for the termites. And if you don't have something to reject them, to keep them out, they'll come in. And when they come in, as Sister Oliver Nelson, her name was Wava, used to say, it'll go down, down, down. But persevere. Get knocked down. Get some bruises. But get back up again. Get right back up and do the work that God has called you, equipped you, and will accompany you to do. God bless you. I'll see you next week.